Welcome to Theory of Pets. I'm a passionate pet owner with a drive to help others like me uncover the truth about the pet industry and what goes on behind the scenes. Fostering is a great way to give back and help your local shelter and rescue organizations. It's something that a lot of people don't necessarily think about because it can be a tough decision. When you bring a pet into your house, obviously you get attached to them, and then to have to think about giving them to a forever home can be tough. But today I'm talking to Simone Hurst. She is from Dog Watch UK, and not only does she work in a shelter environment, but she also has firsthand experience with fostering pets. She's been a long-term foster parent, and she talks about some of the pros and cons today in case it's something that you've ever thought about. Fostering is something that shelters and rescues all over the world are looking for. They need foster families to be able to take pets in. It really helps them get to know more about the pet because you're working with the pet outside of the shelter one-on-one, so you get to know a lot about them. It also gives the pet a home environment. Sometimes animals behave differently in a home environment than they do under the stress of being in the shelter. And of course, it obviously opens up a spot in the shelter. If you, for example, are fostering a dog, that allows them to open up that spot and take in another dog while the foster dog is living in your home. So there are a lot of benefits to you, to the dog or cat that you're fostering, and to the shelter organization. Simone is going to tell us a little bit about the process if you're interested in becoming a foster parent or you're thinking about it, and of course share some of that firsthand knowledge with us as well.
Well, my name's Simone Hurst, and I became involved in, I suppose, dog rescue, really, because I got a dog from a local charity, a local dog rescue charity, and it resurrected my absolute love for dogs. I'd had two cats prior to that, and I just wanted to do more and help more, so I then basically became a fosterer for the local dog rescue, and that's how I got involved.
That's fantastic. And being a foster parent is something that so many people, you know, don't really understand what that's all about. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today.
Yeah.
But first, you work for Dog Watch UK, which is quite a unique organization. Can you tell us how it came to be and how you got involved with them?
Absolutely, yes. So Dog Watch was set up by one of the trustees of the charity a number of years ago now. And I think, if I'm right in saying, she basically lost her dog, but she lost her dog from a garden. So her dog was in a fully enclosed garden, and maybe somebody broke in and stole the dog, etc. And, you know, she searched, her and her husband searched for years for her dog, unfortunately never found it. But as a result of that search, you know, she came across a lot of sort of sad stories and saw the state of dog rescue in the UK and just wanted to do something about it. So I became involved with them purely because I had two cats, my two cats passed away, and my husband at the time said, well, shall we get a dog? And my son, in actual fact, who's now nearly 21, but at the time he was about sort of, what, 9 or 10, he had a few behavioural issues at school, nothing major, but we thought it might calm him down a bit. So we wanted to get a rescue dog because we wanted to help. I'm a big believer in trying to get a rescue dog rather than a dog that's coming from breeders. And we came across Dog Watch. We'd never not heard from them before, didn't know that this dog rescue was in our area. And we approached them and we ended up adopting our first dog, Saba, who we still have, in actual fact. And she came over from Spain because Dog Watch has a relationship with one of rescuing dogs in the UK, also rescues dogs from Spain and Portugal. And we had that dog, we had Saba, absolutely beautiful, we're so happy. And we thought, you know what, we want to do a bit more. So that's when then we started getting involved with fostering, helping to fundraise, etc.
And through Dog Watch, people can adopt or foster. I think most of us understand the adoption process. It's pretty standard with most shelters and rescue organizations. But as I mentioned, you know, fostering is something that it doesn't have a lot of education and information out there for people who might be interested. Could you discuss the fostering process and how that works?
Absolutely, yes. So, for example, with Dog Watch, we've got a form on the website that you're filling to start off with. And then if everything sounds okay, so for example, with Dog Watch, we do insist that there is a garden that the dog can go out in. You know, we also look to see if the person is capable of doing regular exercise with the dog. And also socialising the dog is very important as well. So you fill out the form, and then from there, there would be a home check. And if all that works out, it would then be a case of waiting to receive your first pooch. All your costs are paid for, so you would not have to worry about your veterinary bills or your food. For example, when I foster, I mean, I'm in a fortunate position that, in actual fact, I don't ask for any money from Dog Watch for the veterinary bills and the food because I'm able to do that. But we do have funds, obviously, for people where they we can then reimburse them for food, etc. That's not a problem at all. And I think the main thing that people perhaps worry about, because if you're that way inclined, is, well, what about when that dog leaves us? Which it is, I'm not going to fib. It is quite upsetting. You know, I always shed tears when a foster dog leaves me, but within sort of a week or so, those tears are then replaced. I can't begin to explain it. Like a really warm feeling, because I know that dog is safe. I know it's been saved. And I've helped that dog along the process. So it gives you a really warm feeling inside. And very often, you know, a lot of the people who take those dogs into forever homes, they do keep in touch with you and send you photos from time to time. And we've got a big community, Dog Watch UK, now through social media. So we ask that people, you know, join our Facebook group. Maybe from time to time post photos on there. So you do get to keep in touch as well. So, yeah, it's great.
So it sounds like you've listed some benefits for the person who is the foster parent. And a lot of people hear, you know, when rescues and shelter organizations say, oh, we'll reimburse you for vet costs and all the supplies that you might need. So they might wonder, how is it actually helping the shelter? If they are still paying for the dog and helping to care for the dog, how is it actually benefiting your organization or another shelter that somebody might foster from?
Yeah, so fostering a dog, it helps that dog become rehomed a lot quicker. So because it's in a family environment, maybe with family members, your family members, your children, maybe other pets even as well, it really helps to socialise that dog. Because some of these dogs, you know, they're coming, some of them could be strays. For example, my Saba, she was used as a hunting dog over in Spain, and she had been mistreated, and she wasn't used to the family environment. But I had picked Saba up from fosterers. So by the time she came to me, she was very, very relaxed. Whereas sometimes if you're getting a dog that's coming straight from being a stray, for example, you know, they don't even know how to climb up and down stairs. If you might get them a dog bed, but they sleep on a really hard floor because they're not used to having that dog bed. And it's then setting the boundaries for that dog so it is ready to then go to their forever home. So it helps to socialise them. So, you know, it does happen from time to time when you're in rescue that sometimes people will adopt a dog and they return it. But with this, with fostering, that then reduces that risk because that dog is already socialised, which, of course, is entirely different than a dog that's been in kennels and going straight from kennels to a home. They've still got to get used to being in that home, etc. So that's one of the ways that it really helps the organisation. It's horrible to say it, but you get less returns, which is a horrible way to think about another living being, but it kind of is like that. It is like that because that dog's already socialised.
Yeah, and we foster as well. So, you know, one of the things that I always tell people when we're trying to discuss fostering and get somebody else to do it is, you know, it's kind of twofold because you're opening up a spot in the shelter for another dog as well that maybe, you know, couldn't be in a foster home or for whatever reason they don't have a foster home for that dog. So you're taking a dog from the shelter and opening up that spot for them to rescue another dog too. So it's almost like you're helping two dogs at once too when you foster.
Yeah, absolutely. That's spot on actually. Yeah, absolutely. You are in effect saving two dogs. Yeah, definitely.
So if somebody was considering being a foster parent for a pet, what's the one thing that you would tell them?
I would say that, the one thing, this is really difficult to just come out with one thing here, but I would say, you know, don't think about it carefully because you will cause more problems for the organisation, for the charity, if you jump in feet first without properly considering it, and then you take your first dog and then you change your mind. So do be sure if you are going to foster a pet. But also, I would also say, you know, it is so, so rewarding to foster a pet as well. It really, really is. So don't be worried that you're going to get, you know, upset when your foster dog goes, when you let that foster dog go. Because I promise you, because I'm a very emotional person, I promise you that initial sadness will be replaced by a really warm feeling.
I agree. And, you know, I think that is something that's a main concern for people considering fostering is, you know, they're worried to get attached to the animal and then, you know, have to pass them on to their forever family. But, you know, like you had mentioned earlier, you're helping, you know, you're a stepping stone for that dog to find their forever home. So it really is very rewarding. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if our listeners, somebody's listening and they think to themselves they just don't have the time to foster or, you know, their home isn't a suitable environment for a foster, what else could they do to help a local shelter or rescue organization if they're not able to welcome an animal into their home?
Well, I think there's quite a number of ways in actual fact, because we have people at Dog Watch where that they can't foster and they can't adopt, but they come and help us with fundraising. You can organise a fundraising event. So, for example, every year we do a fun dog show. And so you can help publicise that. You can help on the day talking to people about the activities of that rescue centre as well. So certainly getting involved with fundraising events like that and promotion. So there's always, certainly from working with Dog Watch, there's always a lot of roles. You know, we always want to help. So I would be phoning up the rescue centre to just say, look, you know, we can't foster, we can't adopt, but can we do anything else? Can we come along and help out the kennels? Can we walk some of the dogs? Things like that. So, for example, just this week, one of our fosterers, unfortunately, her auntie has not got long to live. And so she got a couple of foster dogs. So then we were asking people, look, can you come and help us walk these foster dogs while unfortunately this particular woman has to go and visit her family, you know, until she comes back. So there's always opportunities to help out, most certainly at rescue centres, yeah.
Yeah, make a call for sure. You never know. I know, obviously, donations, and some people think, you know, maybe they can't donate a large sum of money, but small things, you know, shelters are looking for paper towels, toys for the animals, things that are really inexpensive. So if you can't give, you know, $50 or $100, you know, you might be able to pick a few things up at the grocery store for $5, and it does all make a difference.
Oh, it really does. I know it's a cliche, but seriously, nothing is so small. You know, everything counts. It really, really does in a big, big way.
Is there anything else that you'd like our listeners to know about adoption, fostering, or Dog Watch UK?
Yeah, I think the final thing, really, is that sometimes, you know, because we are run entirely by volunteers, if you are rescuing an animal and you're going to a charity, please, please do bear it in mind that a lot of these organisations are run entirely by volunteers who will have day jobs, they will be working, they will have their own family. So sometimes the process perhaps can take a little bit longer than it would do where you are going to a rescue centre that is a business or a breeder, obviously, as well, that is in, that at the end of the day is in business. So just be a little bit patient, because also as well, you know, we want to make sure that we get the right dog for you, that you're the right match, you know, for both of you, for both sides. And as I say, just have a little bit of patience.
Yeah, I think that's a great tip. You know, a lot of shelters and rescue organizations do home visits and things like that. And, you know, when people are working a full-time job, sometimes they can't get right out there the next day or even that week to do a home inspection or some of those things that come along with fostering and adopting. So a very important piece of information. I think people need to remember to have a little bit of patience in that sense.
Yeah, because I think the thing is, when you decide to get a dog, it's an emotional decision. And then as soon as you've made that decision, oh, we want a dog, or we want a cat, whatever the pet may be, you want it straight away. You know, you can't wait to have it. And it is a process that needs to be gone through. So, yeah.
For sure, for sure. And, you know, again, like you mentioned, it is a process where, you know, a lot of times people think, we're ready for a pet, let's get one right now. Sometimes rushing out and getting the first dog from a breeder or, you know, an organization that doesn't do the home inspections and things that take a little bit longer, sometimes you don't get the right fit. And then it ends up, you know, it becomes a longer process anyway, because you have a dog that wasn't necessarily right for your lifestyle or your family, your home. So taking the time is definitely worth it in the end when you get a pet that matches perfectly.
Definitely.
Simone, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you coming on, and this is great information. You know, we are big fans of fostering, and I try to educate people on fostering as much as I can, because it's certainly needed in every area all over the world.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're always on the lookout for fosterers. Yeah, we always did a big drive on that. Yeah, so I know what you mean there.
Again, a huge thank you to Simone for being here with us today. I really appreciate her taking the time out to talk with us. And if you guys have any questions, the website for Dogwatch UK is just below this podcast, as well as a link to our website, theoryofpets.com. If you have any questions, you can get on there, leave your questions on the website. I will answer them if I can. If you'd like me to pass them on to Simone for some more information, I can do that as well. And when you're on there, if you could take just a quick minute to leave me a review, I would really appreciate that. When I reach out to experts in the industry to get them to come on as a guest on the podcast, it really helps that I can show them that you guys are out there listening and you want to hear more. So thanks for tuning in today. I will be back with another hot topic very soon.